I'm going to compromise and come here, not there. When Susan has, and I have a loud teacher voice, so I have, so Mr. Mallory, can you hear me?
Yes.
All right, I'm going to
be hurt now.
I know, if he can hear me, you can all hear me. When Susan asked if I could say a few words about being thankful, I thought, okay. And then Gail tells me this morning, by the way, you're first. Here goes.
Sorry.
And we're going to try and get through this in two parts. First of all, when I think thankful, I think of my family, because I've been really blessed that we have all gotten along for the most part our whole life. And right now, I have twin sisters, 7 years younger, and a brother a year younger, if you don't know. And we do family Zoom every other week. And every other week, we are usually cut off while we are laughing about some really stupid thing. And the last one was why Candace's scrambled eggs are better than anyone else's. And it's because she talks to them gently while she does it. So we have conversations like that, but it also goes more than that. I think of the example that my mom and dad set in the grocery store. They taught us hard work, customer service, and look for things you can do to help people, even if they don't ask. They both did that in their ways. My mom continued to do that her whole life. She would make cookies, hang them on the doors of the people in her condo. There were three single men. She just did it. She did it without asking, without thinking. It was just part of her. And I think this all came home for a couple of things. When she was her last month, there was a hospice nurse that came only once a week. And it was because one of my sisters is a nurse practitioner, and she said Janice knew what to do, and she was just checking in. And then she said, beside I like coming here, she said, I walk into this condo and the first feeling I get is love. She goes, it just radiates your whole condo. And she said, at that time I was baking my way through all of Mom's outdated cake mixes. My brother was going to a lot of AA meetings, and he said, you make it, they'll eat it, they don't care. She happened to show up. So one week she said, I had to come and see what you baked today. She said, even if they're outdated, they've all tasted good. It was things like that that we shared with Mom right up to the end, and that whole feeling of radiation. I'm blessed because my two daughters, and Dick and I have a relationship that goes beyond their parents. And the other thing I'm thankful for is the families within this church, whether you're family or not. I pulled up today, and I already told them outside I'm going to do this. I pulled up today, and Ben goes, can I help you? I said, sure, if you want to take these two bags in, I'll go park. I parked, and they come back in Kimmy's shovel in the snow. The Simpler family, including Lily and Violet and Ryan, are behind the scenes doing more jobs than we could ever imagine. I love it when I would sit in the back of the church upstairs, and now you guys are spread out, and there would be the Coons family, the Pearson family, the Simpler family. And when I would see that, and then I would look across at the Glacian Road and think, all is right with the world. Because I look at what Josh and Arista and the Pearson, who feed the puppets, they do every week for the show. And with Angela and Craig, there's people who do things behind the scenes all the time. I have a whole list of what Chris does, what Shannon does, what Mike and Mandy, I was thinking the same thing, how much things Mike do. So I am thankful for my own family, for this church family, and for what all of you do. And I'm going to end up here. This morning, because I couldn't find French bread to cut up to go to spinach dip, so I was cutting up hot dog buns. And there are memories that are going to be with me for about egg salad sandwiches served on hot dog buns have to be one of the highlights of coffee. I'm going to make egg salad sandwiches at Easter. So it's kind of funny the things that trigger a memory. And that was my memory today. And thanks, Kay, for your egg salad sandwich.
morning.
Good morning.
So, see if my Bible verse still works. My eyes don't work, my Bible verse does. So, I'm going to tell you right now that my thankful thing today is I'm thankful for trials. Now,
That's dangerous. Did you say that out loud?
Yeah, I said it out loud. I can spin this a couple different ways. I can spin it a way that would make you go, oh my gosh, what a Christian. What a strong faith. What an amazing thing to be thankful for. Yeah, right. No. So in the midst of the trials, I'm going to tell you the real story instead of the fake story. The real story is in the midst of the trials that I'm thankful for, I begged God to take them away. I did not want to be in the trials. Trials are yucky. They're hard. I don't like them. But I'm thankful for them. We'll get to that in a minute. Everybody has trials. We can't compare. We just need to relate because everybody is going through something. And not everybody's trials are the same. Some people are dealing with financial difficulties. Some people are dealing with health difficulties. Sometimes we go through a period of, spiritual dryness. That's a trial. Sometimes I've been there. Sometimes we go through all kinds of things. For me personally, probably my biggest trial was living in a home that was fraught with substance abuse. Not my parents. The home I chose later, my given home was really great. But anyways, it was really, really hard. And I wanted to be out of that situation. It weighed on me. I just struggled constantly with the trials. And yet, looking back on them, I talked about this a little bit in Sunday school a couple weeks ago. Looking back on them, I realized that if you want to use the analogy of a rock with a lot of sharp edges, picture me, running down, just being pushed down a stream, banging against other rocks, the trials, and having a lot of those rough edges kind of smoothed over. Those trials did that for me. And I wouldn't want to go back. I wouldn't want to go back without those because I wouldn't want to be the person I was before some of those rough edges got knocked off. And I don't think you would want me to be the person I was before some of those rough edges got knocked off. So the scripture I want to read to you today is from Romans, what Paul is saying. He's talking about the faith we have, the peace we have in faith, and the grace and the hope of glory. But he says, not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And so I think even in the midst of the trials, that because I have faith in Jesus in the midst of all those trials, I had a hope. And that hope is what got me through the trials. And in the process, hopefully gave me a better character. And I'm just super thankful for those trials. I do not want to go through them again. But, whatever God has for me to build my character and to make me more like Him, okay, I'm here for it. In the game.
I've had lots of different careers jobs in my life. I ran a tow truck company for a little while. I owned a clothing company. I was a telemarketer. That was fun. I was a waitress. I was also a youth pastor. So I've done a ton of different things, but this is truly my calling. And you know it when you walk into the classroom and you're like, this is it. And through the trials and all of the crazy things that kind of come at me, I've managed to make it a safe haven. So back to my notes. Colossians 3:12 says, whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart as working for the Lord. And that verse is like seriously an anchor for me. And I really think about that every day when I am headed to work. Teaching is not easy at all. And it's not glamorous, but it's definitely a calling. God didn't place me in a classroom by accident. He entrusted me with those students for a purpose and a reason. And I try to speak life into every single one of them that comes into my classroom. I see 111 students a day. That is set all of the grades 7 through 12, except 8th grade. Probably come next year, which is terrifying to me. In Proverbs 22, it says, train up a child in the way they should go. And we always look at that from the parenting standpoint. And me, being mother of five, I look at it like that too. But I'm able to look at it from a teaching perspective as well. As God has entrusted me with these kids that come into my classroom. And even though they are not biologically my own children, they are still my kids. They're still Christ, right? We're all built in the image of Christ. And so I try to remember that giving them encouragement and giving them a safe place to come and to talk and to learn and just being a light allows them to glimpse the little glimpses of God within a dark place. Because if you have not taught in a public school, you don't know what dark is until you're there. I promise you. There are kids that are light, but there's so much darkness within those walls that it can be terrifying at times. I've gone off my notes. In Isaiah, he reminds us that those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. And there are days that I rely on that promise more than I rely on my lesson plans. Teaching can be draining, but God continually gives me the strength to show up, to care, to listen, and to keep going. And I'm thankful that I don't have to do any of it alone. It's also helpful to have my husband down the hallway too, so that when I have those moments of crisis of like, oh my gosh, you have no idea what just happened and I'm in tears, I can go down there and he can talk to me and point me back to God. And that is a huge blessing. I also get to see the little seeds that are planted that God allows me to plant in these kids, and I get to see them grow. And later, for those kids to come back and to not just be thankful, oh, you taught me all of these things that all of my college freshmen, like ELA students, didn't know. Like, they couldn't write a five-paragraph essay. They didn't even know what a thesis statement was. You're awesome, Mrs. P. But the other things that they learned about having grace and being compassionate and having empathy and all of these things, you know, that they don't see necessarily in their household, but they get to see it in my classroom. And it's like, it's an honor, and I'm in awe every day that God placed me where he did. I'm so thankful. So my final point, I promise, and then I will close. Paul reminds us in 1 Thessalonians, to give thanks in all circumstances. And gratitude changes how I see my classroom. I don't see kids who are being disrespectful as them just being disrespectful. There's something broken. There's something wrong. And I have to show them the love of God in that moment. It helps that I was a youth pastor, that I also went to school to be a counselor, and I was doing my clinical hours before we moved back to Cordova. So I see it from a different standpoint, I think, than most people. But I love our kids, and I get to love our kids in school, which is great. So I guess in closing, teaching is not just my job, it's my ministry. and that's how I look at it. So as Shannon comes up to play a song of response, will you guys pray with me? Father, we come to you and we are just thankful for each person who felt led to speak today, Father. We thank you for Gail and we thank you for Sue. Allow us to reflect on their words and grow stronger in faith through them. As we still our hearts during this time of response, remind us of all of the things that we have to be thankful for. Amen.